I know the DJ.
Do you?
You gotta
90s baby, stand up.
You're coming back because I'm blowing in it. Pause. I take my craft serious.
Get the hell out of here. I don't owe you shit.
Welcome to episode 84, but I know the DJ, the original New England podcast discussing all things DJing, music, nightlife, business, and pop culture through the unfiltered opinions of host Snacks.
Give me Snacks, baby.
A.K.A. Boston's Willy Wonka and DJ's Fingers. And Cammy V.
DJ Cammy V.
And so glad to have you back, Fingers. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. We just had our Friendsgiving here at the show. Shout out the producers for bringing food. Shout out Fingers and Cammy for not bringing anything. But
acting like we don't bring anything to the table. Come on now.
Oh, well, not to the Friendsgiving table. But what amazing few weeks it's been. Busy to end the year. The holidays are coming up. And it's just good vibes. How's everybody doing? Guys, how are we doing?
Fine.
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, he's about to drop.
Ye's about to drop?
Are you
I hope so.
for those who aren't watching online, Fingers is wearing a ski mask.
So you can play that game.
And I don't really know how to feel. It's you have nice eyes, bro.
It's popping, right?
You have very like warm, welcoming eyes.
So when you like cover everything else, it's just like right there, it's the focus.
Yeah. When behind all the ugly, like you have some very kind
I'm a
eyes.
Cute motherfucker. I'm just a little chubby.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with chubby.
But yeah, man.
Just throw some skims. And
it's hot in here.
Yes. Yo, stop making fun of that shit. Ye about to drop. So we're getting ready. All my Ye fans out there, you know what it is, bro. You know, God breathe on this.
Anyway, so again, ending the year, how's everybody like, how's it, you could feel good about your last year? We feel good about 2023. Everyone happy with where we stand right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't I be?
Yeah, I think it's definitely this year for me. It's been like I'm jumping over to the jumping on trampoline, ready to jump off. It's kind of just kind of been a prepping for the next year for me.
Are you gonna wear this mask the whole show?
Is this intimidating?
Intimidating is not the word.
What is it?
It's a little hard to like take you seriously.
Why? Why is it? Is there a problem?
Cammy, you're a new parent.
I'm a new parent.
Guys, for those who don't know, Cammy is a new parent. Congratulations to fucking Cammy, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Congratulations,
thank
bro.
You,
we're
thank
so
you,
proud of
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Jeez. I thought you got your tooth tied.
Pause.
You got a puppy?
Yeah, we got a puppy. Baby Lorenzo is finally home. Things are great. He's doing great. He's a little cream long-haired dachshund, so he's a wiener dog with long hair.
Gorgeous dog.
He's 4 pounds.
Oh.
4 pounds of pure Italian sausage, just like his dad.
Oh, wow. We love that.
I'm gonna get him a Kanye mask. You can put on him with his eyes.
That would be hilarious. But, yeah, man, I just haven't slept in 3 days, but...
Dude, that newborn life, bro.
Yeah, he's literally an infant.
PP? Is that what you're doing? PP? Yeah.
All right. Lorenzo, PP poo poo.
PP poo poo.
Yeah, got to pick him up, got to bring him outside. Yeah, bro, it's how it is.
Jesus. Oh, wow. Welcome to Fatherhood, Cammy V.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And before we start the show, I do want to take a moment. I know that this is a DJ podcast, and, you know, obviously we talk about all kinds of things, recent news, things going on in pop culture. But I do want to like bring it home for the DJs for a second. There's a couple things that I've learned over the past few weeks that I did some traveling, a lot of networking with other DJs in the South. There's a couple things that again I really really took away from this traveling that I really want to make sure I kind of nail down on DJs and the DJs listening in their brains is please post content, DJs. Please post content. It's very difficult for anyone who books DJs, who books for venues or anything like that, and is willing to give you a chance, that the chance that you think you deserve and that you might deserve, when there's no way that we know what kind of DJing you do, what your style is, what your energy is like. So please post content, whether it's just you in your bedroom, in your studio, you know, coming up with ideas. It just, it at least gives us something to work off of and knowing how your brain works, knowing how you want to program certain things, knowing, you know, what your DJ style is like. if you are DJing in venues and you already have made it to the point where you have consistent gigs, record the sets, post the sets, have a place where people can find you and listen to you. Me, myself, I do a lot of posting, you know, a lot of the mixes I make, you know, I do for the radio and live sets that I do in my gigs, and I just post them. You know, I post them raw, like I'll just maybe like cut the extra stuff in the beginning and in the end. Might have to add some some messaging in the front, but like I just put them on and let the world have the ability to at least hear it. And I've since then I've gotten bookings just from those mixes and people finding them organically online, and them hitting me up being like, yo, follow your Mixcloud, heard XYZ sets that you posted and mixes that you posted, we want you for you, we think you fit for this event, we think you fit for our party, and have been booked that way just off of the fact that I just posted them and they found it organically. You never know who's watching and who's listening. I was at a DJ conference in Atlanta, went to the legendary Magic City strip club and just wanted to join myself.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, never heard of it. So it was Watering Hole in more ways than one. And was just hanging out. And there was another DJ who came up to me and he was like, yo, your snacks, right? Mind you, I'm in Atlanta. I don't know anyone. Comes up to me and says, your snacks, right? I go, yeah. He goes, yo, me and my wife work out to your mixes all the time.
That's
he goes, keep doing what you're doing. We love it. Like, keep pumping them out. And I just stand there and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, so please, please post content. If you're wondering why you're not moving the needle in 2023 going into 2024, it's probably because you're not posting content. Any kind of content. Just let people know how you're DJing, how you're maneuvering, how you're programming, and what your style is like. Because otherwise, I can't just book you off the fact that you have X amount of followers. I can't book you off of the fact that you got a really good videographer that made you a recap video. Because any really good videographer can make a really whack night or a really whack DJ look really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to market yourself, rely on your skills, and bet on your own talent. The only way to do that is to keep it raw and to just really show what you do. So please, post content.
And you never know who's watching or who's listening.
Ever, bro. It's like, I've been amazed. I've been amazed that there's people, they're not even people who do bookings, but people who just listen.
Yeah.
Like, now I have like a little fan base in Florida because there's these people that listen to my shit and are sharing it with their friends and are playing it at their pregame. And when I went down there, they came out to my shit because I was now in their town. That's I was awesome. Now in their city, and they came out.
Utilize SoundCloud, Mixcloud. Yeah. Those still big platforms. Like, I didn't know. I posted a few mixes on my SoundCloud, which I usually do, and a lot of my edits. And one of Will.i.am's trainers was listening to my shit. He's like, "Hey, we're in Boston. We want to come out to where you're at."
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like you don't really.
Like, oh shit!
And even if it's just one, one person that hits you up that's like, "Yo, like I really love your shit. Like I work out to her, or whatever the case." Like if they're in town, like they're gonna fuck with you, bro. And promoters see that, and you know what I mean. Like these people are reposting my flyers. Like it's crazy.
That is
you
awesome.
Know what I'm saying. So
it's like the big thing too is when you're doing a gig, you have a finite amount of people that are gonna be in that room, mm-hmm. whether it be like 250 to like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
But like when it's on the internet, man, it can really just fucking take off and go anywhere.
And there's so many tools now, whether it's like microphones or cameras, Serato, you can record internally. Like there's so many tools that you can use, bro. Spend the 200, 300, 400, like skip out on the kicks, skip out on the newest controller, skip out on like the fucking Julie. Also this Julie thing needs to stop. Like you're not popping just cause you got a new chain on. First of all,
talk about
it. Like we need to be fucking real. Cause we all know in this industry, like how much money can be made, how much money is being made. And when you're wearing fucking trash ass clothing, but you got like a bunch of other jewelry. It makes no fucking sense. So stop that. So skip it on the jewelry and get yourself a camera.
Yeah, dude. Take that extra step and do that, bro.
Pay for somebody follow you around and take videos of you doing your thing.
You can't write off jewelry, but you can write off DJ equipment.
And you can really, that's the shit that's really going to get you to pop off. You know what I'm saying? And so there's so many people going viral off of really, really basic shit, man. Like a lot of it is sometimes the consistency and not necessarily like doing the most complex thing. So if you're just putting content out, people are going to catch onto it.
And knowing how to utilize hashtags algorithms, learning all these shits. I know you have a background that used to work in shit like that.
Booleans, that's high level marketing shit.
So like, you have to know all that shit. Like, you don't have to even have a big ass entourage. There's people that are just sitting in their fucking room and know how to work the fucking programs to get the shit in people's faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, shout out DJ Rivas, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big one.
Who's a big name in DJing. Shout out Rivas, man. And he does his thing. He makes incredible edits, and he's a Club Killers editor. Like, does really, really good shit. And I was just having dinner with him the other day, and he was like, I'm starting to now push out shit, like, just throw out reels of, like, of the edits that I'm already making. Like, they're already done. He's like, I just take the extra step of recording myself, and I'm just going to pump them out as fast as I make the edits themselves that I have to do for Club Killers, that I have to do for my set for that weekend. He's just taking that extra step. And he's getting thousands of that. And like, he was like, look at all these followers. Because when you get a follower from your reel, it says that it's from your reel. He's like, look, I've never gotten this many followers. Mind you, he has thousands of followers, tens of thousands of followers. And he's like, I've never gotten followers this fast. You know what I mean? Like, just do it. Please just do it. And focus. Like, unfortunately, and fortunately for a lot of people too, is DJing has become so multifaceted. It's not just, you can't just be a good DJ anymore. We've said this for years, for the entire life of this podcast. Mm. So please, spend the money on a course, social media course, or you know, Photoshop or Adobe, something to get you to that next level, and stop wasting your time like on Facebook complaining of why you're not getting booked when there's anyone who's
Ableton,
there's 50 other dudes in the room that are just as good if not better than you, but they also do X, Y, and Z. So just wanted to take a moment there. I don't know if you guys have any other comments there before we move on.
Nah, that was great. I appreciate that. That's
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, of course, man.
Anyway, wanted to move on to just the news, man.
What's going on? What's going on in the world today?
And it upsets me, but I'm also not surprised, man. You guys heard this Diddy talk?
Mm.
Oh, fingers. Actually, I'm gonna save you for last because I don't know what the fuck you're gonna say. But
good policy there.
Sean,
I'm covering my face. They don't know it's me.
Sean Diddy Combs, who currently goes by Love, ironically. Which I remember when he did that, I was like, bro, what the fuck are you doing, man? But
Meta World Peace.
You know, he's under a lot of fire right now, which is crazy because he released an album like a month ago. A good one too. An R&B one.
Which is nominated for best R&B album.
And currently under a lot of flack. What the suit alleged and what lawyers had to say about it. Ventura, so this is actually about Cassie, his ex-wife? Current wife?
Ex-girlfriend.
I don't think they were married.
They were never married.
My bad. Last name Ventura, so that's what they're referring to. Ventura, a singer, model, actress who professionally goes by simply Cassie.
Got a long way to go.
Had filed a suit in federal court in New York City alleging Combs was physically violent toward her, controlled all aspects of her personal life, introduced, in quotes, her to a lifestyle of excessive alcohol and substance abuse. And in the complaint, she alleged through threats of violence, he forced her to engage in various sexual acts with male sex workers. Combs' attorney denied the allegations in a statement on to CNN on Thursday, calling the claims outrageous and accusing Ventura of persistent threats to write a damaging book if she wasn't given $30 million.
$30 million.
Which he equated to blackmail. Ventura's attorney, Douglas Wigder, responded to Braffman on Thursday, alleging Combs tried to pay her off to keep quiet. Mr. Combs offered Ms. Ventura eight figures to silence her and prevent her from filing this lawsuit. Guys, what do we think?
Dude. Not looking good. Not looking good.
Not looking good for Love.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, a couple things. Again, like, anytime you see something like this happen, you know, obviously, like, it's met with a lot of questions and stuff. Mm-hmm. But again, it's always like, if anyone's going through any form of, like, abuse or in a relationship, like, speak up. Like, get the help that you need. Get out of the situation. Like, do everything you can.
There's going to be those people in the comments. You don't know people that have been through trauma, they can't leave, stuff like this. So what do you say to that stuff?
Dude, I don't know, man. And again, thankfully, I've never been in a situation like that in my life, and I don't know how I would respond personally in a situation like that. But again, it's always good to have a good support system around you, like, no matter what the situation is, whether it be family, friends, and there's also, like, a lot of, I know for a fact there's a lot of services out there that get the professional help, because again, I'm just a guy that plays music for a living, and
I think Cammy's encouraging that if you are in a situation, please find the help. I know there's obviously case by case basis, which is I think what you're referring to, but
right.
I think Cammy's just encouraging those, if anyone's listening that needs help, to try and help find it.
And I know minimal about this situation, so to speak, but what prompted her now to like come out and talk about this?
From what I understand, it's kind of out of nowhere, and that's what Diddy is kind of saying. He's like, she's just trying to write this fucking book and is trying to like make all this hype. But to be honest, I mean, if you really followed Diddy at all throughout his career, he's always been kind of manic.
Oh, of course.
He's always kind of been a little off.
There's
been a lot of rumors surrounding Diddy and his behavior.
Yeah.
Dude, of course.
And down to his sexuality, his sexual conquest.
I'm not saying that none of this is true by any means. But also,
if you just like, if you've ever watched Making the Band, if you ever just like watched like him when he's like a judge on anything, like he just kind of, this is my world and we're all living in it.
Yeah.
And granted, he's been famous for a really long time. He's been powerful for a really long time. Mm. He's been very wealthy for a very long time. And I think, you know, as we've seen with a lot of celebrities, like they kind of just go cuckoo at one point and like lose touch of like reality and feel untouchable. Right.
Right.
And so to be honest, like what she's accusing him of is very plausible. Like it's
fits the bill.
Like it's not like, you know, if we compare it to like the Tory Meg thing where it's like shot in the foot, it could have been this, it could have been that. Like this is very much shit that happens, unfortunately, in relationships on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about abuse and you know, kind of bringing them in, you know, a partner into a world of you know, toxicity and it's very common, unfortunately. So like
another,
it's not crazy to think of any of this.
No,
stuff.
Another element of the story too, which again, like we never heard of when it happened, was so I guess Cassie went on to go date Kid Cudi, and Diddy blew up Kid Cudi's car.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They went out and spoke with like Kid Cudi's like people and his lawyers and stuff, and they're like, no, yeah, that happened.
I saw this other thing online where I guess this is way back, like early in the relationship, where someone was talking about that Wale and Cassie were in the studio. Have you heard about this?
No.
Where they were in the studio together, like just a studio session, and that Wale was professional the whole way through, like wasn't even trying to flee. It was just all work. They were making amazing music together, and Diddy walks in, and I guess is like, why are you talking to my girl? Like, people just become very possessive.
The story is...
And that the goons grabbed Wale and hung him off of a balcony. Yeah. Like, threatening. The whole, like, what is that, Scarface vibes?
Yeah.
The whole, like, hanging off the balcony being like, yo, like, don't fuck with my girl, like, type shit.
Oh, my God.
And that's a lot of the reason why, like, Wale, like, never really, like, took off or whatever.
0 to 100, which was Drake's song, which was a beat that Diddy's camp made and presented to Drake. And Drake, I guess Diddy wanted Drake to write for him or whatever, but they never, the song kind of went ways and they never did anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that whole, I don't know if you heard about Drake and Diddy, Diddy smacked Drake, was because Drake went to put the song out.
That's fucking nuts. So
I don't know if you guys know, but they settled out of court.
Cassie and Diddy?
Yeah, they did.
They officially did?
Yeah, they settled.
The next day.
So
they settled out of court.
Yeah.
And this wasn't a criminal suit. This was a civil suit from the jump. It was never
pressing
she was
charges.
Never trying to put him in jail.
Right.
So she got bread off of it, or like
what, she got bread. Yeah. She got paid.
Do they know how much? Do we know how much?
They never disclose how much, but it's if she was asking for 30, it's either going to be around that ballpark. Or
they figure Mark.
It's going to be around that ballpark. Listen, I don't condone abuse of any kind, male or female. I don't care. I think that's no for me. I do also believe that, like, you know, the whole Stockholm syndrome, people going back to abuse, and that's something that does happen mentally to people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they just get stuck in that cycle. But, you know, we live in times where just this is so much resources and there's so much stories that people can pull from.
Many.
That just say, hey, listen, if this is happening to you, and you have no ties, you have no agendas, you have no reasons why. A lot of people are saying, you know, he was going to hold back her singles and stuff like that. And that's what's going on. And that shouldn't be the conversation. The conversation should be, if this is somebody that's been through something, that's been through trauma, if they chose to come out and talk about it now, mm-hmm. we shouldn't be judging her. But you know, there's just, you know, this is just a very touchy subject, and it's sickening to hear the accusations and stuff. You know, especially me, I don't know, man. But as far, a lot of people are not touching it. A lot of people in the industry don't want to talk about it.
I'll touch it.
You know what I'm saying?
Pause.
But in that case, would you ever pay a prostitute to fuck your girl while you're watching jerk off? Is that something that
it's not really something I'm into?
That's what is that, cuckolding? Is that what that
is? It's cuckolding. Yeah, not really something I've been into. I know it's been a pastime in certain countries around the world, but really never really been a part of my palate. No.
Yeah.
What has been conversation with, you know, all this going on the interwebs is the question is, do we cancel Diddy? Do we stop playing Diddy? Not only Diddy music, but Diddy related music. And so, we all know that that touches a lot.
Well, seeming that, you know, he didn't get convicted or anything of a civil suit, is all that, you know, that we can't say he did it, and we won't deny it, because you can't deny somebody's,
yeah, of course, I wasn't
story
there.
Right,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So let's say red-handed, like fucking trying to, like, in jail, abuse the shit out of Cassie, all this shit was true. Is this because obviously there's levels to this cancellation shit. I can't keep up.
I'm still playing Ignition, so I don't know.
Say that again?
I'm still playing Ignition, so I don't know.
Are you really?
I love that song.
You play Ignition?
I played in the club. Yeah.
What are the reactions?
I actually have a story about this. Keep going.
People dance to it. There's some people that are like, but some people just forget. We live in such a like selective outrageous,
right?
Like,
yeah.
Society where people, like, dude, for the moment will be so angry at something and then forget about it,
dude. So I did I did an R&B party in Miami, right? And it was everyone was black. It was like it was very much like a local vibe.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Shout out R&B down there. Shout out Loy. And during my set, first of all, I also like try and DJ out of state as much as you can, because you realize how much there's regional style.
It's very true.
And regional, like you know, there's like songs that work because of where you're at and where you're from.
Yeah.
You play Sweet Caroline in Boston, blah, blah, blah. You play Poison, whatever. Boston shit, right? So I'm doing my thing, and this girl comes up to me with her phone and goes, and it says, play R. Kelly. I have never gotten a play R. Kelly request
in this day and age,
but
in this climate.
But it's funny because I had tweeted about it, of how surprised I was, and Malcolm Xavier he was on the show. If you're an OG listener,
oh yeah,
from DC, great guy, great DJ, doing amazing things down there. And he was like, "Yeah, welcome to the South. You know, it's different." And even when the whole R. Kelly thing, that the documentary just over coming out, it was a big almost white versus black thing, right? Where like black people just, they want to stand by R. Kelly, you know, And again, that's the only reason I brought up like the race thing of who was there, is because it seemed like down in the South and in this community of people, they don't give a fuck. They want to play. They want to listen to R. Kelly. I go, hell no. I said on the mic, I go, hell no, I'm not doing that. The DJ after me, and again, this regional shit, not only was his set just very much very interesting to me, it was something that I was like, I think if he played this at like Silk here, I don't think it would hit, but it was working, right? It was playing songs that I really wouldn't expect to work. I think the same girl did the whole play R. Kelly thing to him. He not only plays an R. Kelly song, he does an R. Kelly medley. He does like four joints in a row. The last one being I Believe I Can Fly, and it being the biggest song of the set.
Well, let me tell you something, right? Okay, cool. R. Kelly did what he did. He got convicted of what he did, right? Ignition comes in the club. You're not doing this.
It's a great song.
Bounce, bounce, bounce. You're not gonna tell me you're not gonna bounce. No, that shit comes on.
But if I was out at a party in Boston and the DJ played Ignition, I would be like, yo, this dude's
wildin'. Look around like, oh shit.
I would be looking around first.
I'd be like, this dude's wildin'. And honestly, like, I remember back in the Cure day, back, so this is probably like 2018,
yeah,
2017, 2018. I remember I played Hotel. Cassidy and R. Kelly, right?
Right.
And this is an opening set. Early vibes, bro. And I love that song. And I was like, oh, it's just the hook. And I remember I used to play what's the song? Fuck! It's his song with Ja Rule, the if it wasn't for the money. Cause
yeah, yeah.
What is it?
Mesmerized.
That's not Mesmerized. No. But you know the song I'm talking about.
I wonder.
Yeah. Wonderful. I used to play that song because, again, he's just on the hook. Like, it's the best Ja Rule song. I remember I played Hotel. This girl comes up to me. You're not playing R. Kelly right now, are you? Oh, shit. My just mix out.
But why did she scare you? Why did she scare you to do that?
Well, because I assume that if she's coming up to me saying it, there's other people thinking it.
Mm.
It was my thing. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to, like, piss off the ladies. I'm trying to get on the
now. We are curators of the vibe. We are servants to the people.
Yeah.
And if we're creating an uncomfortable environment,
it's not to the people.
That's well,
do you play Elvis? He married a 14-year-old.
You play Elvis at the club?
What
Elvis song you play at the club?
Listen, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. I understand in the heat of the moment, be sensitive to people, you know, in the heat of the moment, but I think we're just so scared of cancel culture that we're going to get canceled ourselves. I'm able to separate the music from the artist. I'm from the person, and that's what I'll do. And I was sensitive at the. I didn't play R. Kelly for a while, of course.
You still play Lizzo?
Of course I play Lizzo. I played Lizzo the other day.
Horny ass.
So my thing is, like, if we opened up everybody's fucking closet, we would not play one song ever again.
Right. That's fair.
I agree with that.
You hear me?
If we known everybody's kinky ass fucking secrets, everyone's fucking mistakes.
I don't like when you talk about me like that.
You know what I'm saying? We would not. We would not play no fucking music ever the fuck again.
Right. I know, that is true.
All right?
I understand that.
Also, with R. Kelly, there was a fucking tape. Everyone saw this fucking tape for fucking decades. No one fucking canceled him then. He got bigger after that. Yeah. He even called himself the Pied Piper. Where the fucking mat?
The Zorro.
The little Zorro mask. Wore the Zorro mask. No pun intended. And still, people still fucking fuck with him.
Yo, the Zorro mask was like, he did multiple music videos.
Yes, he dropped that fucking, what was the album that he dropped? The Ignition was on, whatever. He dropped that album, blew the fuck up for decades. No one said shit.
But I think,
dude,
I think that wasn't enough. It was when it was like the 15 women came out. And was like this. Like
there were allegations back then.
But I think it was the tied me up and like kept me in a basement.
It's social media. Shit. There was allegations. People knew about shit back then, but it just got worse because
you watched the video. You watched the video
and all this shit.
You watched the video.
I did not watch the video. I seen the video. Yes, it was going around the hood like a fucking mixtape.
You watched it. You watched it.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Like how many times? Six times.
No, I saw it one time. I was fucking young as fuck. Obviously, oh shit! It's the
do you think that might have shaped like your current like sexual like interests?
Dude, shut up. It was disgusting. It was not okay. But all I'm saying is that's where my shit is. Like, keep the shit, keep it all fucking leveled out. Keep it all the same. If y'all should have been outraged, you should have been canceled a long fucking time ago when that shit dropped. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
My thing, and I'm not condoning anything. I'm not backing up. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. As far as music and the artist, I'll let it die out, and then I'm dropping.
Do you think it's a difference? Do you think it's a difference if like he just like pees on her, or if he like poops on her? Like, you think there's like a line, or is
she
just
was
all
a minor? So I'm definitely not joking around.
So she was over 18 and he peed on her. You'd be cool with it. It's just a kink.
Have you never seen two girls one cup?
What are you talking about?
You never watched Two Girls One Cup?
What's that?
Shut up. Shut up.
So what is that line then? What is the line? I want to know the line.
I think it's an artist to artist basis and whatever.
So how good they are? Because Robert Kelly is the best R&B male R&B artist of all time.
Is he?
Listen, to this.
Yeah, is he? Oh, yeah. Man. Who's better than him? Who's better than him? Let's be real. We've talked about this on the show. I forgot. I think this is when I was alone.
Are we talking about like traditional R&B, or are we talking about R&B period?
Bro, what? Who's better than him?
Usher?
No, he's not.
Chris Brown?
Usher's number two. Chris Brown's number three.
No one's touching R. Kelly in his pen.
Thank you. Fingers. Am I crazy?
Just his pen, period.
Hey, yo, that's crazy.
Just his pen. What? His pen. His penmanship is fucking insane.
Yo, his R. Kelly in his pen? Jesus.
Let's be adults here.
Hey, come on,
His penmanship, crazy. Just him doing the verses with just the songs that he wrote.
Right.
A lot of people can't fucking touch. You know what I'm saying? So It's like I said, I'm disgusted by what he did, but dude, his music is fucking timeless. You know what I'm saying? Like, and here's my thing. It's like when
R. Kelly's number one.
People, and I'm not giving an excuse for shit. I'm not saying that, hey, listen, if you did something of that of that magnitude, you need to pay for it. You need to do what you got. You need to do your time. As society, you need to apologize, and you need to do whatever you need to do to rehabilitate yourself and come out of that situation. It's going to be tagging you for the rest of your life.
Is there?
No. This is a conversation that nobody. No. Let me finish. This is a conversation because this has got to be a complete thought. This is a conversation that nobody talks about. You know where someone's trauma comes from. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the shit with Chris Brown. I got chewed alive.
Oh God, I saw that.
I got chewed alive just because I wanted to bring up the conversation of, listen, this is somebody that's been through trauma. He's doing the work. He's apologized. Even the girl that he was in the situation to apologize. Where do we stop the hate? Like, is there a line where we stop the hate? Do we, you know, taking of what happened? Like, if you killed somebody, you're a piece of fuck out of here. If you do some fucked up shit, you own up to it. You're going to jail. Do your fucking time, and that's it. But if somebody comes out and says, "Yo, listen, this is what I did. I'm sorry. This is what I've been through." Because R. Kelly's been raped as a child many times by older people. That shit comes from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So if he comes out as a person and be like, "Yo, listen, I'm a piece of shit. This is what I've been through. I need help." Do we still say fuck that person?
I think it's up to the beholder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because again, the person who is deciding to cancel that person could also have that trauma, and that's why
they're
keeping
it
so close to the, you know what I mean? Like, so if someone has maybe, in R. Kelly's case, if there's someone, you know, just around the way that's been like, yo, I've been abused, and he reminds me of that behavior, like, fuck him. Like, there's no going back to that. I think it really depends on that.
That's valid.
So I think it's one of those things when it's an umbrella thing of like, hey, us as a society, what are we thinking? I think at that point, like, the way I look at it is, like, he's been arrested, he's been in jail. Like, it looked like as a society, we've deemed the fact that he is guilty of all this stuff.
Yeah.
That I think as, like, the umbrella thing is, like, okay, he's guilty, we're not fucking with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I remember, like, with the Tory stuff, like, it was so...
split.
We don't know, you know, like, me. But as far as, like I said, like, hey, the justice system says he's... You know, not that the justice system was perfect, but it's like, okay, that's our umbrella decision. You know what I'm saying?
The only reason why I say it is because now people now, like, you can just say something that's wrong or naive, or you, in the heat of the moment, say something that can hurt somebody's feelings, and then everyone wants to throw stones and cast you away from society. Like shit like that, as small as that, I've seen happening. And like, come on, but like, no one's perfect.
No one's fucking perfect.
I wish I can hear some people's conversations behind closed doors. You would not be able to show your face online.
You don't want to see our group chat.
Bro, like...
Oh, God.
But listen, hey, thoughts and prayers to anybody out there that's been through some traumatic shit. And listen, seek help. You're not alone. And try to find your way out of that situation. Nothing comes out of it. No one holds no power over you like yourself. So do whatever you can to get out of that situation. And God bless anyone that's going through trauma right now.
Thank you, Fingers.
Thank you, Fingers.
And, you know, speaking of seeking help, you know, I'm really good at my job, guys. These transitions.
10 out of 10.
Fucking incredible.
10
man.
Out of 10.
It's, listen, Jimmy Fallon, when it's all said and done, I'm here, baby. Speaking of seeking help, our beloved Snoop Dogg had a cry for help online about his quitting smoking. Did you see this?
I did.
Fingers, you see this?
Yes, I did.
And it was crazy because it's kind of his thing. It's kind of his brand.
I mean,
it is Snoop Dogg.
It could be one of many things. He could be selling an edible. He could be selling something.
So, but the thing is, the way he was talking about, you know, like, give me privacy.
It comes off saying, as like health.
You know, it's people were concerned about OG.
Yeah.
The D-O-double-G.
What do you think, Cammy?
Well, turns out, obviously.
Yeah, it turns out. Correspondent Cammy, please, take it away.
It turns out, what was he promoting? A smokeless fire pit?
It's like a smokeless fire pit. You know how much money you have to give Snoop to endorse your product in such a way to make the world thinks he quit his favorite thing to do?
Everything stopped for like a few hours.
Yeah, it did. And it worked.
It did work.
Like,
that's crazy.
I can't imagine the bag that is. And that dude, this is a dude, he's like Shaq. He has a product. He's a product for everything.
Huge. He's a big brand.
Think about the marketing team that was like, guys, I got the best idea possible. We're going to have Snoop. We're going to pay Snoop Dogg $1 billion to go on the internet to promote this by saying that he quit smoking. That's actually like, whoever that is, we should get them working for the show because that's actually all time.
Crazy. Yeah. So, so he ends up promoting Smokeless Fire Pit. And then, and that's the thing. Like, it's just like, it's like, it would have been different if it was like, I don't know. I think it was stupid. Like, I saw it and I was like,
I
was like, man, like, if it was like a, if it was some like amazing revelation of like, I don't even know, like smoke. I don't even fucking know. I don't know what it could have been, but like, I was like a fire pit band. Really? Like, I was just like, this is, that bag must have been crazy.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like we live in that, we live like with the internet. Everyone wants to assume. Everyone wants to put their own
clickbait
context super behind clickbait. Something. So if you leave a little room for thought,
people are jumping.
And that's and that's your promo. He didn't post anything else after that.
That was it.
That's your promo. That's all you have to do.
That was it. I said this when I think when we were doing our like greatest rappers debate or something like that. I said that Snoop Dogg was like actually should be insanely high. I think he's like very underrated in the fact in the sense that like he's. So relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's his career is what 30 years. And it's insane how relevant and how tied to pop culture this man is.
He's super famous.
Like he is but he's one of those dudes that like he's not in our face all the time, but everyone knows who he is. Yeah. Like you can go to your 60-year-old uncle and be like, yo, Snoop, and he's like, yo, Snoop. And you, you know, and you go and you go to your little kid or your little sister, Snoop. Oh yeah, Snoop, son. Like it's kind of crazy his reach.
There. Yeah, it is.
And the things he just ties his name to and stuff. Fucking Snoop,
his rebrand was huge. Going from like hip hop and then doing movies and doing shows, dude, and doing shit like that.
I remember. Do you remember when Sensual Seduction first came out?
Oh my god!
And I remember being like, "What the fuck is this shit?" And then I was like, "Yo, but this is
so fucking good."
Yeah.
And then he did the Snoop Lion.
Yeah,
he
DJs. That was interesting. Martha Stewart, the cooking
Martha
show.
Martha Stewart, like he got, and he's
on the roast.
He has like cereals.
Yeah. Bro, he's got his hand in everything, low key.
Crazy dude.
And marijuana is a big, huge, you know, like industry and people.
He's just a dude that like knows everybody.
Yeah,
he was. It was. I saw this. He was on. I think the Jimmy Fallon show, and Jimmy was like, "I'm just gonna say a country, and I just want you to tell me if you have like a weed plug there." And he starts like naming like dart at the board like random cut. And he's like oh yeah, yeah, and he like he'll like say their name, he's like yeah shout out whatever, and the place like goes crazy. and then the last one he goes, how about North Korea, and he goes, oh no, I can't do that. Like it was like the one that he couldn't do. He was mad fucking shout out Snoop, man.
Yeah, that's way funny.
Man, and thing is, I know this is something that we talk about a lot, just like within our own group chat and just in our conversations. Thing is as we mentioned before on the show, we've been doing our thing on the radio lately.
Yeah, man.
And we kind of touched on radio DJing before and kind of a little bit of the politics and how things kind of work. Since then, you know, we're a few months in. Going to end the year strong on it. Hopefully start off a new year on it. What's been, you know, what are some new things that or takeaways that you've learned on the radio?
You know, I'm really just my strong way to, like, you know, curate. Without being in the room, like, you know, thinking about the drive, thinking about somebody at work, thinking about what's gonna keep somebody moving and keep things fresh. Me, I know, and I've echoed this before. I was huge on just on the radio. I know when the mix shows were coming on, and I wanted to be there and I wanted to hear. I used to record it, all that stuff. I wanted that nostalgic feel. For like the young kids to want to, you know, with the phones and everything like that, if, you know, with streaming music, it's just at the tip of your hands. You don't really need a radio like that too much, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of excitement and that kind of hold on music kind of died out a little bit. I could say especially here in Boston, but you know. I just love it, man. I just love sitting there and coming up with ways to just make it fresh and make it new. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring, like I said, there's a bunch of great guys on the radio doing their thing and stuff like that. Shout out to them. But I just feel like that kind of excitement with I want to go on the radio and see what's going on right now and see what the DJs are playing right now.
Yeah.
It kind of died out a little bit.
For a long time, the radio was a place for most people to get like their first exposure to DJing, period. Like I know it was personally for me, like how you alluded to, I would tune into the radio and be like, yo, what's what's hot, you know, like, oh shit, I love how they're blending this and this, they're scratching, yo, this is crazy. And I feel like an outsider looking at what you guys are doing, it's like, it's giving me excitement again to like tune into local radio, because you guys are able to take what you guys are doing in the clubs,
yeah,
to a certain extent, and just bringing back that nostalgic feel of like, shit, this is what like radio can be again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, so. I know we go back and forth, and I think we kind of like, we've kind of grown to kind of, hey, oh, you did that, all right,
yeah,
watch
yeah,
this.
Yeah. Like, yeah, watch yeah, this. Yeah, yeah, I love it. I love it. You guys are like,
Yeah, it's dope.
I love the ideas that you guys are putting there. I'm like, yo, this is crazy.
Because our current involvement is we're doing 20 to 25 minute mixes a week. So super quick, and it's just like, this is our spot, and we get to, you know, talk on it, shout out whatever we're doing, which is awesome. It's an awesome spot. Shout out Pup Dog, shout out the station.
Yeah.
But I know that we specifically try and stand out, and we try and like bring like real DJing back into the airwaves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what's been like your process week to week of like how you're trying to put together, you know, your sets?
Because
I'm sure that a lot of the DJs that are listening and haven't done radio or wonder what it's like might be curious.
I look at my process. I look at, you know, songs that need to be hit, and then I've tried to figure out ways to switch it up a little bit, come up with curate my own remixes to play in my sets.
Yeah, that's something that you do a lot.
To make it different, like, you know.
Blends and stuff.
Yeah, even if it's like a second long, I'm using that as a tool. And I know you are a big advocate of that yourself. But doing stuff like that to where it's just like, oh shit. Like, oh, that's fire. You know, try to get, you know, even like there's times where I plan 4 songs ahead to get to a certain song.
Well, yeah. So I think that's, you know, the that's something that I think just goes into DJ programming, and I think this is a tip for DJs that are listening, is whatever song that you want to get to, like, if, like, let's say like that's like the song, right? That's like the song that like we're thinking of, right? That's the song that you want to play. That's the punchline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not the song you start with, or the second song. It's like the fourth or fifth song.
Yeah.
Where now that you have the idea of what song you want to play, you work backwards. Okay, what song leads to this one? Let's say it's maybe a song that's in the same key or the same like vibe, right? The same BPM and all that stuff. Okay, maybe the song before that has a sample.
Yeah.
That's on a different BPM or whatever. Okay, now you can use that. And then now the song before that is going to be the song in that area. So now
that
you have this
four
song sequence that shows versatility, that shows that your ability to like work with different BPMs, and that shows that you know samples, all to get to this one ultimately hot record.
One of the biggest things is like a lot of guys are losing the ability to have it make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a DJ, like, I feel like that should be primarily one of your biggest jobs, is like it's not about playing the right songs, even though it is. It is about playing the songs, but it's about the journey. Like, how did you get there? How did you have it make sense? Because sometimes, like, it's how you play it that is going to make you stand out from other DJs.
And dude, not for nothing, like, back then, DJs used to, you know, premiere exclusive shit on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yep. I don't have this. Let me grab a cassette player, put some tissue paper on the tops of them, and record it. And that's how it used to be. So that's what I'm trying to create, too. When I make these mixes or these remixes, I'm not putting them out immediately. I'm not spreading them out immediately because, hey, I want you to come back and know. I want to go back and listen to what other exclusive shit he's about to drop.
Bro, I'm so glad you say that, because I can't tell you the amount of times, like, I used to listen to radio and be like, yo, I need to fucking find this, and I can't find it anywhere on the internet. So
I wanted to rip an example of what I was saying about this whole sequencing thing and punchline thing from my most recent jam and mix. I'm just going to take a second to find it, because I don't have the cue point for it, because I'm not prepared. But I showed you guys this last night.
I'm
right
crazy
on it. So basically what this is going from newer song to let it lead into the older songs to get me to somewhere else, right? And so, and it's all intentional. Again, there's the opening, the lead, the build up into the punchline, right? And so we start with the song Easy, right? And if you listen to the song Easy, like if we just get the drums here. So part of the instrumental, the snare and stuff, it's the reverse. Right? Like it's the...
It's a reverse.
It's a reverse snare. And so we use that.
Give me snacks, baby.
Now, in the little story, I got this.
So here crazy. We have Paul Revere by the Beastie Boys
drum sample
on top of Easy, both of them having the reverse drum sample. So that's what connects them, right? Yep. That's the gap bridger, yep. right? And this is hip hop. It's a hip hop station.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now we're going 20 years back at least.
If I heard this driving to wherever I was going, I'd probably crash my car. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Oh, fuck, I lost it. Fuck me. Give me a second.
Playing Paul Revere is fucking fire.
Yeah, like, honestly, so when I was listening to Easy, I was like, oh, this has the reverse snare. What other songs have reverse snare?
It's unexpected to hear that.
Yeah. Right now. And so I was like, yo, like, I don't think people play Paul Revere on the fucking radio. Fuck, I lost my spot. Give me a second here. If
we need we got it.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it goes like we just heard. Sorry, guys. All right. Into Paul Revere. So the two songs together. So that's what the actual instrumental sounds like. So you can hear it here. That reverse snare. And then so we go in forward a little bit. Oh, too far. And so there's another song that's newer than Paul Revere, but still old. It came out like 2007. You know this song, Crispy, right?
Yep.
It was a song I loved in middle school that also has a reverse snare in it. And I used that to get to that song. So use that. So that's how we get there. And then once I was in this song, I was like, I was like, I feel like the doom, 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 doom. Yeah. And it got me into.
Yep.
Where are we at? Fuck. Sorry. Yeah. I went there. So we have. So it just gave me the same vibe. So now we're still hearing this old school thing. And then we get back to the new school, which is what the radio gave me. So again, it was all for a punchline, right? And that's how we get back into the using the acapella, using a new blend to get into the new record. And that's I think a good example.
Keeping
of
it fresh, man. Keeping it, you know, like you're not going to be hearing that on the radio all the time. You know, the radio's gone to a lot of programming to where, you know, we're keeping it safe. We want to make sure that we get our listeners. Yeah.
But it does
like
take a long time.
It does take a while to do
like,
that.
Like, again, we only do 20-minute spots per week where there's other guys, you know, doing hour-long spots multiple times a week.
Yeah.
Like it's tough. So I'm grateful. That's why I'm happy with what, you know, we get right now and that we can put so much time and thought into these 20-minute spots.
Guys, tune in. There's a bunch of dudes on there that are doing their thing. DJ
Please
Fab,
yeah. yep.
Rico Suave.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Double, Foreign.
So,
Finger Snacks.
But again, keep that in mind just when you start going into your own sets and when you're doing your own mixes. Like the song that you want to play, think of that as the last piece of the puzzle and then work backwards. And then you'll realize how much that opens up your mind of being like, okay, well, I know this is connected to this song. That song is connected to that song. And now that song is connected to that song. And now all of a sudden you're showing. Again, your breadth of taste and knowledge, where in this 1 minute sequence, I play like 30 years of hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And different artists and all in this one sequence, and it all connects to each other.
Makes sense.
You know? So just something to keep in mind.
So from 10 to 11, take over every single day between Monday and Fridays. Tune in. It's a vibe.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for another great show, guys. I hope everybody has a great end of the year as we start making our way down there. Thanks so much for listening. I know a lot of people recently have been just coming up to us and saying that they listen to the show. So, you know, just shout out to you guys. We really, really appreciate the love. You know, just take the extra second to comment on our content online, share our stuff, you know, share the link to our shows. You know, we're really just trying to make sure that we're putting out the best stuff that we can for you guys, trying to educate and give you some laughs and whatnot. So we appreciate the love. We just want more people to experience
it. Give us the feedback. We love it.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Peace.